Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things, the show that comes after that other thing. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello.
Justin Robert Young.
Hi, friends.
Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hi, everybody.
So let's do an update. Brian, the compound, the making it work.
Yeah, first of all, man, we're getting closer and closer where we have to have a real name, something that represents the fact that much more than Modern Rogue stuff happens there, something that represents the fact that it's not just a Brian Brushwood place, something that I don't know what that looks like, but... the good news is what I'm calling now, kind of retroactively, phase one is just about complete. Phase one is make it functional. Doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to have everything all put together, but we have to be able to work out of it and make accessory use of a residence for the studio and stuff. And we might be able to move in as soon as next week or the week after. Unfortunately... the way the financing and stuff was put together, we have to finish it before we can get any of the operating revenue money back, and this is all happening right as we all available capital has to go to buy all of the fall and Black Friday inventory. So all of a sudden, I knew this month might come, but this is the month where bills are coming and I don't have the ability to pay them. So a little bit ahead of schedule, we kicked in asking for donations, and man, what a tough thing to navigate, how to ask people for money. And it's like, for what? And you're like, for nothing. Because you want this to happen, right? And it's weird because we're not just a pure NPR kind of operation, although we are mostly listener supported and viewer supported. We also try to, for those people who that's not their bag, let them do retail stuff. And I was really worried about how it would be received to just straight up ask for money, because what I didn't want to do is cry boo-hoo and say, because I mean, I don't think boo-hoo, I'm only 90% done with the 7-acre cult compound is a very good narrative. So we did a video on the Modern Rogue channel where we took people on a tour, showing them a whole bunch of before and afters to show just how much progress has happened and how extraordinary the momentum is. And we really are just around the corner of being able to move operations and go to a podcast studio, what, 4 or 5 times the size of what we're working out of right now?
Yeah, certainly bigger. Yeah,
maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, where you guys are broadcasting out of a guest room, and this is a full yoga studio.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous. It looks absolutely way more pro. Not that I didn't expect you not to do something pro.
I wasn't certain I was going to end up doing something pro. but yeah, so now we begin, and the timing isn't exactly the way I hoped, but this is also, I realize, like, we have to start looking for donors now because we only have a window of 2 or 3 weeks before we're starting to sell stuff, and you can't sell stuff at the same time that you're asking for donations. So you have to sort of complete that window. The good news is we're about, of the funds that we're hoping to raise to get everything back on track, we're about 40% there after just 5 days.
Oh, wow.
And that's after only sending out an email kind of detailing everything. And then this
video is only a day old, right?
Yeah, correct. Although you know how YouTube works, like the bulk of the views come right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But... The plan right now is we said basically, hey, we need some cash. If you want to support that and you got the scratch, that would be great. Here's some cool reward tiers that we have, including, you know, for $50 you can actually own a piece of the studio or of the building. At 500, not only would we give you a more interesting piece of the building, but basically I'll put together a grab bag of what I think is a pretty good value from scamstuff.com. So basically, I'm putting together some presents for you. If you are somebody of means and you have the interest for $5,000, the benefit is that you could come be among the very first people to stay there. You could stay a couple of nights and we'll spend a day together. I'll take you around and hang out and show you my favorite parts of Austin. And then because you want to, somebody out there has the money and it's just a rounding error to them, for $25,000 if you donate it. By the way, this is still available. We will name the soundstage after you. We'll put a nice big old nameplate on there, and it'll be forever referred to as the whatever your name is soundstage.
Brian touched my balls stage.
That's, you know what? That's fine by me.
I come up with an abbreviation for that one.
Telly Zarell in the chat points out, like, now that's some FU money. Yeah, and people have it. And those people listen to podcasts. And those people like the joy, the pride that comes from knowing that they're a genuine philanthropist and that they have their name on buildings. I mean, walk around a university campus, it's nothing but people who want their names on buildings.
People's names, yeah.
Well, and the advantage of like a soundstage or like a stadium is if they're recording there, is the idea that mentioned, you know, that you get this. It's an ongoing kind of plug, you know, the idea of,
yeah,
you know.
Well, so if anybody listening is on the fence, know that this is intended to be an unfolding story, because if you write everything at once and then you tell the story all at once, you kind of only get one at-bat to grab everybody's attention. Whereas if you think about, and Justin could speak to this, what I'm hoping to do is a little bit closer to the classic Kickstarter model, where it's like you want to begin the journey, and then and as you hit numbers of donors or as you hit numbers of participants, you keep unlocking more and more value. And everybody who put in, let's say there somebody writes a check for $500 and they're just excited to get a cool piece of memorabilia and some scam stuff, then they are only happier when I hit them up. Spoiler alert, this is the stuff I'm thinking of. When I reveal in a few days that, okay, there's a new tier at $250, you get to have a tree named after you. You get to put have your name on, you know, we've identified 40 trees on campus and you could come visit your tree. And then, so it's like, cool, now I got that too. And then, same thing at $100 when we reveal, like, oh, also everybody who's in the Founders Club, everybody who's there as part of the completion of phase one, all of you guys are going to be in a secret club called the Founders Club. And if you did $100 or above, you get an individually numbered challenge coin belonging to this secret society. And so when we see each other in person, you'll have this talisman you know, along with what else, everything else you get. And then the idea being, like, a lot of people jumped in at the $50 level. And then that gives us the opportunity later to say, hey, if you're in at 50, you know, if you want to do another 50, here's some cool extra things that you get to participate in.
Excellent. I think, you know, people, I think when you like a thing and you want more of a thing, you know, you just put a name on how to support it, and you know, as you're finding out, people are happy to support it, you know.
Well, and this is a real moment in time kind of thing, right? Like, it's projects can come and go. And hopefully, you know, if you are connecting with your audience, you've got two or three of these moments, be it a television show or, you know, the Kickstarter for me, or you know, when the Diamond Club book set, kind of took off, where you have these, like, great stories. But very rarely do you have, I'm building a physical thing that'll be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's generational. That's like, it does not happen often. Like, I don't think that Brian, I mean, if you are at a point again in your lifetime where you're asking your audience, hey, help me build a permanent thing, it'll be like Euro Modern Rogue HQ, right? Like, a derivation of this one thing. And it's like, that's powerful. You know, everybody is always biased. Everyone's biased toward their own journey. And if you can make it clear that they are on this journey with you, then that's powerful. That is something that I think people really want to be a part of, because they can say, look, I was there. And with this thing, it's not even just, hey, I helped make that happen. It's, this thing exists. It's a place I can, when I'm going to America, I'm going to go visit it. It's going to be on my list of things I need to see.
Yeah. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to unfold the story over the next 2 weeks. But, man, just know that everybody who participates, it's only going to get, you're only going to feel better and better about yourself as more and more of the perks and unlocks and insiderness becomes revealed as we go forward.
Awesome. Well, it's no compound, but tomorrow is iPhone announcement. And yes. We talked a little about weird things, but also today, 9/19.
Yeah, 20-year anniversary of the Dreamcast coming out. Right. 9/9/99 was the day that was, for an entire year, hammered into our heads for what was going to be the ultimate console. And damned if, when you read the story that they were putting together, everything from the ability to have your own private screen on your controller to being able to pull it out like a Tamagotchi and play miniature mini games on it, to taking that to the local arcade and uploading your player profile and stuff. Mm-hmm. That thing had all the promise, and just because of the way Sega was managing their finances, as great and as visionary and as ahead of the curve as it was, it just also was the last gasp of Sega. They became a software company afterwards.
Yeah, it's an example of how that era of consoles that were sort of, you bought it for the things, the features that it was eventually going to do, or the promise of what it was going to do,
yeah,
which is great, and then you get it, and then you get a Dreamcast, and you realize the middle thing isn't in there, well, that's the mini parts, another part, and this part, and that, and then you just sort of realize, like, man, the thing in the commercial, the thing I want, that's not this right now. Right now, I have a slightly better game console, but with stiff competition coming from everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. It was an era, I mean, because the previous gen, you'd seen like Sega CD and 32X. Like, Sega had specifically had this idea of like, all right, well, with Genesis, we're going to plus it by coming out with these other things that will continue the life cycle of the main piece of hardware, but be able to keep up and do new cutting edge kind of stuff. So that had been a thing that Sega really liked doing, was leaving room for, talk about unfolding stories, Brian.
Yeah, sure.
To be like, oh no, buy this, because don't worry, we're going to have cooler stuff that'll come out as we go along. It will be a more powerful device, which hardware wise, kind of was like the last gasp of that idea, probably because Sega no longer made hardware after it. But also the internet kind of eliminated some of how excited anybody was that like a new hardware upgrade would radically change the experience. Like, you just do cooler stuff on the internet.
Just looking at the timeline here too, because you had, it was just what, 2 years later, you got the Xbox. And that kind of, you know, that was sort of the age of finally when we're like, let's just start pushing super powerful video cards into basically PCs and stuff. And, you know, the kind of the realm of the sort of the standalone sort of mini box was really, you know, doing your kind of your own sort of full on hardware was sort of just Nintendo at that point, which, you know, we, for better or worse, but then they've done some amazing jobs. Like, the Switch is just a fun thing. And so they've been innovating, but expectations, you know, like, it's hard to figure these out, because you plan these things several years in advance and you're trying to figure out, like, you know, what are people going to want? You know, Sega started planning this, looking at the Genesis landscape and then saying, what are people going to want in 1999? And then you do that and it's so hard to follow through. There's, you all read Console Wars?
Is that a podcast?
That's a book. No, book. The book.
Oh, I did read that book. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I thought it was a podcast, is because I listened to it.
From Blake Harris.
Yeah, Blake J. Harris. He wrote also, which I really loved, which is The History of the Future, about Oculus. But Console Wars is a really good account of, you know, Sega and Nintendo and all of that. You know, and it's just, you know, these things are culturally defining and shaping. And so, you know, tomorrow we get, hey, a new iPhone. But, and we were talking about before on Weird Things, and it's, you know, like, hey, more cameras, and, you know, it's gonna move this many flip flops around the zip zop, and I guess that's great. Mm-hmm.
It'll probably feel like a significant upgrade to me, because, like I said, I sat out the last upgrade cycle, so I'll be surprised. Although I'll tell you what, Justin, flat out, the regular form factor is the right size for my hands, and I find it very pleasant. But knowing that the Plus will, I never ran out of battery when I was rocking the Plus all day, every day, all that extra battery life. So I may go for a, Plus.
Wow.
Yeah. I was happy to re-upgrade back to a larger form factor after the one cycle with the smaller one. So, I mean, look, it's just a bigger, more immersive screen for movies and, you know, Hearthstone.
Yeah, I've been on the Plus. Like, ever since I went upsize, I had no urge to go down. Like, you pick up the smaller one, and you're like, oh, this is kind of cool and convenient, but it's a smaller screen, you know. And yeah, you know, so
I'm starting to feel it with the X. It's not even the regular, because I really liked. I mean, I'm one of those people that really liked the SE, the old
tiny one,
the tinier one, and so then they had the one before the X come out that was like a little bigger, and then the X is a little bit bigger than that, and it feels a little too much. I even got it like a pop socket just to like help hold it up because it's just a little too big to hold with my hand.
Yeah, maybe now that pop sockets are fairly ubiquitous, maybe that's a good way thing for me to lean on the bigger size. Although that's the problem, is it's a bigger phone, and then you make it even bigger with the pop socket on.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Is that a pop socket in your pocket?
but that at least would make it manageable, because I like to do a lot of stuff. Man, there's just no one handing a Plus though.
Well, you have to
balance it on your pinky and
there is a little easel. You got to like make a little hand easel and then your beep bop beep bop.
Well, they also have the thing where your keyboard can like shrink to one side.
Oh, that's better now, because originally
they've had that for a while, but they don't tell people about it very much.
Yeah,
you actually probably have it on yours. But they have the new. I've been on the iOS 13 beta for a couple months now, it's certainly nothing new. There have been plenty of other operating systems and apps that have it, but the swipe typing is really nice. And I think that'll be something that helps.
I haven't gotten the knack of that. I downloaded the Google keyboard, but it's just so counterintuitive to do the zip zop swapping around.
It takes a while because you kind of have to know how to spell what you want to type.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to be a little more clued into what exactly you want to type. And so that does make it weird, but it kind of makes two-handed use a little. Like, you have one hand holding the phone and one hand going really fast typing. I don't know. It's a different use case for sure.
Yeah, I got pretty good with my thumbs.
I often wind up just using the swipe on the Google keyboard because I find the Google keyboard to be less accurate because of the swipe in terms of hunting and pecking.
Yeah, that's...
So I'll misspell something three times. I'll just be like, whatever! Here's my Zorro thing. This is what you demand of me, you stupid... keyboard. Just somebody make me a better GIF search engine, because that's the one thing that Gboard is better at than anything else.
Yeah.
I remember too, like, I just opened mine up and I'm like, oh, also the whole idea, if you press down on the keyboard, it acts like a trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Though they're saying now they might get rid of the 3D touch.
What?
In these new ones.
Well, it'll be a long press. You'll long press
the space bar. Which still works.
I can live with that. Although,
but it's weird. I did like the Force Touch, but not everything used it in the same way. I don't know.
Yep.
It'll be weird.
I mean, I only used it for the trackpad thing.
Yeah.
So do we expect after the announcement that it'll be available instantly, or
no? It'll be 2 weeks.
There'll be some kind of down the road thing.
Yeah, it's always like a week or 2 weeks, or 10 days or whatever. That's been like the last several years has been the pattern.
Yeah, there used to be. I know that for a while it was like available right now, and everybody would go nuts.
Did they ever do the keynote that it was the same day?
I don't know if they do it for phones. They've done it for MacBooks and some other stuff, but I don't know if I can remember a time where they did it on sale.
I definitely have a memory of it, but I'm usually the first to admit that memory is faulty. But
it might have been like pre-orders are available now, or you can order it now, and I bet that the scale of it is so much now that they can't do like update the store and the website that day and be ready for all that traffic immediately while it's happening.
Right.
I do the upgrade, like the subscription model with them.
Oh, the iPhone upgrade program.
Yeah, I started doing that. So no matter what this phone is, it can be a rubber chicken, and I'm gonna get it because I've been paying for it for the last year.
Yeah, I have the T-Mobile thing of that, and so it'll probably be the same thing for me.
Yeah, that's been pretty efficient. You know, we touched upon this a little bit. We're going previously talk about AR and stuff, but a lot of it too, it's like, I don't keep my phone, like my phone sometimes can be across the room where it's like, I don't text, I don't use social media. Like I'm atypical, whatever, but damn, I don't use my AirPods a lot. And I kind of, we're talking like the future of the thing. And I think, you know, the future of the device is just the services these things do. There's just whatever screen you use to interact with it. And, you know, we've talked about the idea that Amazon might be coming out with their own sort of standalone AirPod sort of thing, which sounds fascinating to me. The idea that you just have something that connects to Wi-Fi. And
yeah,
you look at what they're building into Echoes now, like Echoes takes phone calls, you know, you can send messages, you can do that. And the post phone idea, the idea that you just keep your little AirPod size case in your pocket, pull them in, put your in their ear, and that's it. You know, you pull out a screen, you have a screen if you need it.
Yeah, dude.
That's where we're headed. And you have to wonder how long this is the form factor, you know, how long, like, are we just going to find different ways that we can have a bunch of little screens as opposed to this one hub that we keep in our pocket?
By the way, Captain Fubar in the chat says he got crummy knockoff earpods. I will vouch, if you want a budget option for something that stays in your ear, those Raycon I think they call them eardrums or something, but they're only $79, and they're great. They get the majority of what I'd imagine the full experience of an AirPod is.
Yeah,
I mean the biggest thing with the AirPods is turning on and off your music. Like the fact that it's like it's seamless in, like, right out of the box. They're just on when you put them in. You don't have to hit a button. Like very rarely, at least, you need to hit a button. You're always like, you just pull it out and they stop. Although lately it's been doing this weird thing where sometimes I pull them out and the phone decides that now it's time to play my podcast or music out loud on my phone.
To keep on going.
Which may or may not be because I've lost two AirPods and had to buy new AirPods. So I've resynced it a couple times. But yeah, look, they're considering now that I paid for it twice, I like it so much that I haven't thrown them out, despite the fact that I've lost two AirPods.
It's hard to imagine going back. And, you know, I liked, what was that movie with the idea of, you know, that the assistant and thing, and then just the thing. And the new AirPods are great because you can, don't have to touch them. You can just say, "Hey Siri," and they're always listening and doing that. But, you know, it's funny because, like, we talk about, like, somebody mentioned, like, hey, the idea of, like, direct brain implants and stuff. Like, our trust factor with technology companies has dropped so much.
Yeah.
You know, that we're always going to want firewalls between that. The idea that I can physically pull the thing out, or I can do this, or I can do that. I know. I say that, and I'm like, Mr. I don't use Facebook. Now let me go put on my Quest for 3 hours. Like, Faye's like, we won. Oculus is ours. You know, like, I don't use Facebook. I'm going to go on Instagram, you know? So, what can you do? But cool. Any picks?
I don't know that I got anything. I mean, I'm glad that finally something's happening in this final season of Preacher. Spent a lot of time goofing around season 4, kind of glad that it's ending, but I'm also glad it existed. It's great.
My pick is, I finally finished What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh
my god, the show is so good. I'm excited for it to come back. Awesome. Yeah.
There's so many great one-liners and jokes in that show. You know what I've been dying to try? Can't even gonna go there. It's just so good. In other words, yeah, Matt Berry's character on there too. He is just a delight.
Yeah. I was Jack the Ripper. I've never told anyone that.
I once turned a baby into a vampire. Oh my god. What kind of monster would do that?
Just made a Batista comedy. Which is amazing now that that's like a recognizable brand. That it's just like, he has the cameo in that one episode. You're just like, oh, this is just perfect Batista comedy.
Yeah.
I got a wacky pick.
I found this on Hulu. Apparently, they made a TV show out of The Purge.
These are stories of the early days of The Purge?
This is the season that they've got up now is a story that takes place during – it's not an early Purge thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a modern Purge. So, yeah, it was like a limited run on USA that all took place during The Purge. And I guess season two, they're going to go where no Purge movie or television show has ever gone before. It's going to be what happens – when there's not a Purge.
Oh.
Wait, for reals?
I'd watch that. Okay. That might be okay.
All I know is that I was like, initially, I was watching wrestling or whatever. It's also in USA, so they plug all the USA stuff. And there's Jason Blum on my television saying, like, we're going to do, the you know, season two is going to go where it's never gone before when it's not a Purge. Initially, I'm like, that's dope. And then I was like, what is it?
I mean, it's spoiler alert, it ends in a riot, right? I mean,
I'm sure it's going to be super cool. I'm sure it's going to be great. I don't think that they'd do it. But Bryce, did you like the first series? I haven't seen the first series.
So my thing with all the Purge movies is they tend to be the same sort of stories, right? They're always the same good guys who don't want
to purge. It's a purge.
They don't want to purge. I'm not going to do it. So it's weird because it's kind of like 24 where it all takes place in one night. And so a lot of stuff happens to these people in one night. So you've got like the investment people who sneak into or not sneak into, but get into like a rich people party to try to like, you know, curry favor from the political group that sponsors the Purge, basically. And then you got this Marine who's trying to save his sister from this death cult in the Purge, this executive woman who like paid a lot of money to get someone killed during the Purge, and the scorn that she gets from her office workers. Like they're interesting concepts about what happens when you have a day of the year when you can kill people. But I also feel like, okay, yeah, it's doesn't need to be a very long concept, I think. So I don't know. The idea of like what happens outside of a Purge would be cool. Because it's even little things like, oh, my neighbor, his dog poops on my yard. I'm going to purge him. And it's like, that's very extreme. There's no middle ground for you? you could just beat him up?
There's no maybe killing the dog instead of the guy?
Yeah. On Purge Night. So there. Yeah. I like that domestic slice of life element to it, but I don't know.
It is an interesting premise because one night it's legal, but it's still not moral or ethical. And the idea, like, what happens the year after? It's like, hey, guess what I did in Thailand? Hey, you're still a creep. But it's different there. Doesn't matter. You made horrible moral choices and you're a bad person for that,
You know, I haven't watched all of the movies, so maybe they go into it. Because a lot of times, I know I've seen the first one and maybe the second. It's all like roving bands of bandits and, you know, just guys in a van just screwing with people. But the TV show imagines a world where entire economic forces are built around this one day. You know, this huge auction house pops up for one night to sell off people just to kill them for slavery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The one night slavery came back. Doesn't quite have the ring that the Purge does.
But it's this whole carnival of aesthetic, and it's like you did this for one 10-hour. It's weird. It's some weird stuff. But it's on Hulu now, so it's an easy watch. It's an easy put on the back.
I was about to say, I think we're still fishing for. I don't think I've heard quite a recommendation.
It's not
so
great.
Much.
No, it's not great. Sorry, this is a long way of saying okay. It's not great.
It wasn't. This section Blumhouse is movie. Not called. Is not called recommendations. It's called picks.
Yes. Yeah. It's an easy watch, and put it on the background. You can watch it.
I feel like I have a very healthy relationship with the Purge franchise, as I have never seen a movie or the television show, and yet consistently I watch a trailer or a commercial and I'm like, that's clever. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's my relationship with the Purge. Is I just see the commercials and the trailers and I'm like, oh, look, that's fun. I'm excited that exists. What an interesting idea.
And I've never seen them either. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's cool. Like, and then it's when Bryce describes the plot. I'm like, yeah, this is when I watched the trailer. That was the movie I saw in my head.
Yeah, you know, like, I get it. I understand all of the facets of this concept. But you know what? Hey, you're looking for something to put on.
It too. What if they were growing up?
It 3 takes place in a geriatric facility.
It's a very short movie.
One, but they're older. Mm-hmm. Less structured. My pick is going to be Nostalgia Nerd. He's a YouTube series, and he did a really good – he does these deep dives into different sort of stuff. He did a really good one about the company Virtuality, which was this pioneering virtuality company, which I talked about before. I watched him do one on the Atari Jaguar. So really cool deep dive into stuff. So, again, one of these things that makes the internet awesome is these documentaries done by people that addressing subjects that – you're just not going to see done elsewhere. So, highly recommend.
I saw this recent video of his going around the internet the other day. The beans currency.
Oh yeah, he just did one on the beans about the whole story about beans currency. Really good.
Yeah.
And I want more of these. So I guess I should go over to Patreon and make sure that happens.
Yeah. There we go. Nostalgia Nerd on YouTube.
Yep.
Beans.
Cool. It's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.